Good evening and welcome to the 1955 Kailua Study Group. This is Chapter 22, Christ Revealed is Harmony of Being. And I hope by the end of this chapter, everyone will understand what it is to realize Christ, not just to discuss it or talk about it or read it or think about it or ponder it, but actually to have the inner experience. Well, he starts us off by saying to the group he's speaking to, which includes us and many that I know, he says, we are having difficulty getting past a certain hump. We haven't been achieving it. And we are naturally held back from going another step forward until we get past this place that is giving us difficulty. And so you might want to pay attention if you didn't already, if you didn't underline and star and circle, what that hump is where people are being stuck. He's going to tell us about two principles of the Infinite Way. What he calls the first principle of the Infinite Way and the second principle of the Infinite Way. And really, I submit to you that if all of the Infinite Way students, and there must be thousands, if not a million or two, over the years, I would say that many, many are stuck and haven't gotten over this hump, that of the first principle of the Infinite Way and the second principle of the Infinite Way. And that's the reason we've all been stuck in a mental understanding of truth. So let's get into it here and see what we can do about it. He says, you know, you understand that the Infinite Way is a presentation of certain principles. But as long as they remain in a book, they aren't of any value or any power. And all of us know online, we read, those of us that are a part of the mystical principles list, we can probably tell that there are many people in there that are very good at quoting scripture, quoting Joel, quoting the Infinite Way, and yet the consciousness of the principles are not there. Well, how do we know? How can we make such a declaration? It's the simplest way of all. By their fruits ye shall know them. Either the demonstration is being made, yes, I am making contact with the Christ within, and that's producing the harmony of my being, or I'm pretty much just a human being, and I've got a lot of disharmony, but I'm able to quote these statements. So, some of us, myself included, were stuck there for a lot of years. How about we make a commitment to find out how to get over this hump? Now, we ourselves must become the living embodiment of these principles, these two principles. You don't have to worry about 20 or 40 or 60 or 5 books or 40 chapters in the Kailua Study Group. Right now we're just looking at two principles that we must embody. He says you actually become the very embodiment of the principle, but not by reading it. Reading it is only a step. Now he says, the Master's revelation was, I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. Now in that language, most people don't get the principle. We just do not seem able to encompass the meaning of those passages, and so in the Infinite Way, it's presented in different words. And the words are, God is individual being. God is your being, God is my being. God is the being of every individual, human, animal, vegetable, mineral. God is individual being. God is the law, the life, the soul, the spirit of individual being. All that the Father hath is mine. that's beautiful literature, isn't it? Isn't that what we read in the mystical principles list? A dozen times a day? And yet often the very people quoting that beautiful literature are the ones struggling the most. So, he says, you can go further and say, it's a beautiful truth, too. It's truth. Yes, it is. And then you can go even further, he says, and do absolutely nothing about it. But you see, the Infinite Way is not interested in teaching or printing books, but rather that a few thousand people in the world actually become living embodiments of the principles. How can they do that? Well, frankly, he says, I can't do it for you, and neither can the writings or the recordings do it for you. So, if you have 27 Joel Goldsmith books, or 150 tapes, none of that will do it for you. Something else has to take place within your consciousness. There has to be an activity that goes on within you. You must consciously realize these principles. Now, right now, what we're reading here is just black ink on white paper. It's only a principle on a page. It's what he said is beautiful literature. It's got to go deeper. Somehow we've got to get over this hump he's talking about and actually embody within our consciousness the principle that God is individual being. Yes, God is my individual being, he says. But having done that, having thought about that and contemplated that, we've only taken a preliminary step because 1 hour from now the temptation is going to be given to us. Can I afford this? And you see, that's where living the principle comes in. So there's reading the principle. There's pondering, thinking about the principle, even discussing the principle, which is next to useless unless you're helping someone that hasn't heard of the principle before. And then there's living the principle in the face of whatever your particular temptation is. And so he says, you have to answer that temptation and say, well, certainly I can't afford it, but I'm grateful that I never will be able to. And furthermore, I'll never be called on to afford this, since God is my being. And so he says, you turn to God and you say, God, if you can afford it, go ahead and have it. And if you can't afford it, well, let's not have it. I will await your decision. Now you see, that's dying to having any choices, isn't it? Embodying the principle. But it must be lived in your life, through you, daily and hourly. There may be many temptations. And so you have to live this principle. And what is the principle? The principle is God is individual being. Now, this won't work. This won't work. It won't come. God's decision, you know. You can say, I will await your decision, and turn around to your own mind and make your best decision. Well, that won't be God's decision. That'll be your best decision, based on your best thinking. Well, for most of us, our best thinking got us right here, which is asking for help, looking for answers. So, you can say, I will await your decision, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it. He says here, then will come the leading whether or not to have it, but not necessarily. It won't come if you are not making that contact, because you will be turning to your mind and not to God. And so, again, we have the choice to demonstrate mind or demonstrate God. And so if you're making those contacts 12 times a day, or however many, 6, 7, 8, and you're actually contacting that transcendental presence, or the spirit descends upon you, or you feel the quickening, who cares what words you use to describe it? Something other than your mind. Then, when you stop and say, God is the entire, invisible, infinite part of my being, so I'm going to turn to Him, what's your decision? And you're still for those 3 to 4 minutes, then yes, an impartation will come to you from within. He says you'll be receiving your impulses from within. However, if you're not making that contact, and you're just going within and hashing and rehashing these principles in your mind, then when you turn within, you're only going to receive an answer from the mind. And that's the answer you don't want to trust. Believe me. But he says, if you are making that contact and you have been practicing this diligently, then you can say, Father, this is your demonstration, not mine. It's not a question of whether I can afford it or not. Let's just see what you think about it. And then the prompting will come to you. Don't touch it right now, or certainly go ahead. It will be proving that there is an interior part of you, which is God, while the exterior part is the Son of God. God the Father is that invisibility of you. God the Son is the visible sense of your being. Remember, it's still a visible sense of an invisible Son. The invisible, the Word made invisible flesh, is the reality of you. That's the Son of God. What you're experiencing as the exterior is your sense of that Son. All right. So he's trying to tell you that to live this principle means that now that you are making contact within, trying to, 12 times a day or however many you are, and you're beginning to actually make that contact, you have to carry it out daily and hourly with every temptation to not turn to your mind, but rather to go deeper and turn to your soul or your spirit. Turn to the Christ, turn to the Father within, and wait. And the impulse will come, yes or no. Now, the temptation may come in the form of someone coming to you for help. And then you'll have to say, or then you'll be tempted to say, oh, I don't have enough understanding. Which is true, you never will have enough understanding to help anybody, even with a little headache. Because help doesn't come through your understanding or through your mind. See, these classes are just hammering home over and over again. It's not about turning to the mind, turning to any memorized truth. It's not about turning to your mentality at all. It's about developing a new sense, a spiritual sense that's able to make contact with something transcendental. All right. So it says, you'll be able to say, well, I'm not going to turn to my understanding, so I'm going to turn within. And again, you go within, and you realize, Father, this help has to come as the activity of the Christ, not as my understanding or what I know or don't know. It has to come as the activity of the Christ, and I am a willing instrument. And then you have to wait for those 3 to 4 minutes. Now, that's what he did. He proved that this works. This is the path that he practiced that brought him to the point where he could turn within pretty much at will and receive an impartation, a lesson for that night's class, the flow of spirit that dissolves the mental image appearing as disease or also otherwise known as healings, whatever was needed. Grace provided it, but he himself had to open the door, and then he had to carry it forth and live that principle. So then you are a fitting instrument because you have nothingized yourself. I can of mine own self do nothing. Turning within and realizing that I, as the Son of God, am but the instrument, for I, the Father, within me. Do you see that? You see where you nothingize yourself every time you turn away from your mind and your best answers and wait patiently to feel that impulse within? Most students don't see this, not for many, many years. Now let's see what I wrote here. Do we see that the place everyone is stuck, or the hump, is turning to the mind, even for truth? Joel is trying to bring everyone higher than that, where we can turn to the soul, the spirit, and make contact and let it live our lives, not mind. Now, do you see what he's doing here? Paul says, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth my life. And he's trying to get you to actually embody that principle, so that a temptation comes to you, or a call for help, or a problem of your own, or a problem of friends, or a problem of relatives, or a problem of neighbors, or enemies, and instead of trying to come to your best decision, even your best memorized truth that fits the situation to a T, that's useless. Drop it. Now we're practicing turning deeper than that, to the soul, to the spirit, to that invisible interior, and receive the answer, the healing, the impartation from it, so that it really is living our lives. Okay? That's the first principle of the infinite way. God is individual being, and we have to learn to live that to get over the hump. So now, in recognizing God as individual being, you are recognizing infinity at the center of your being, an infinity which you can permit to flow out from you to the world. But remember, you prevent it from flowing by relying on your thoughts, or on the book, or on the tape. Do you not see that there is no possibility of demonstrating God as your individual being until you walk up and down the world as if you were the original John D. Rockefeller with a whole $1 billion in cash and just not willing to spend dimes but dollars? When you have somewhat the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, the holy atmosphere, that the allness of God is within your very own individual being, and that you are a fitting instrument for its entrance into human consciousness, then without a trace of egotism, without a trace of for personal profit or ambition, you can turn within and realize, why, certainly, Father, thy grace is a sufficiency unto this situation. And then you sit there in peace until the flow begins to pour out from you, as warmth or release, joy in some way will flow out from you. But first of all, it has to be in the way that you recognize God as an individual being. All right. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around throwing away dollars. Walk around as if you're a billionaire and next week you're broke. No. It means you walk around in the conscious realization that all that the Father has is mine. But that's not a thought, ladies and gentlemen, my dear friends. We're not at the place anymore where we walk around repeating these thoughts. All that the Father has is mine. All that the Father... No. We should be at the place now where we are beginning to receive some of what the Father has in the form of impartations and healings and impressions and whisperings and all of that that flows from within. If we're starting to receive that, if we're actually feeling it, making the contact, receiving from that presence within, its impartations, which is coming from that transcendental something higher or beyond the mind, then we have the conscious awareness that all that it has is ours, because it's beginning to flow. It's no longer a statement in a book or a truth in a Bible, or on one of these recordings, or in one of these Infinite Way books on page 86 of whatever. So he says, you cannot possibly get past this hump that we're at until a conscious transition takes place inside of you. And what is the conscious transition? Transition from turning to the thinking mind, or the book, or the tape, or the talk, or your memory, or scripture, to actually receiving impartations from within. That's how you get the consciousness of this principle, that God is individual being. It's no longer a theory for you. You should be at least beginning to experience it as an experience. My function is merely to sit down and say, Thy grace is not only my sufficiency, but the sufficiency of everyone who touches my consciousness. And so the hump is not recognizing that it is the contact with the Father that heals and restores and raises and uplifts and instructs and guides and supplies. That's the hump. Not coming into that experience, but only having the thought about it. Gee, I hope it's so. I wish it was so. I think about it. I ponder over it. I repeat it several times. That's the hump. You got to get to the other side where you begin to have the experience and actually receive from the Father within. Then you can say, ah, now I know that there's an invisible part of my individual being that flows forth, and that invisible part is God or Christ or soul or spirit, whatever, or father or friend, whatever you like. The label doesn't mean anything. It's the experience of it that makes it real. So when you bring yourself to that point of realization, you will have fulfilled the very first paragraph of Living the Infinite Way, in which it is said that the infinite way is not a message, it's an experience. So when you have gotten over this hump, you have fulfilled the first paragraph in one of the very first books, that which he says is for beginners. I know, I like to think we're advanced because we've memorized all this stuff. But if we get over this hump, we've fulfilled the first paragraph in one of the very first books. So the writings and recordings are instruments, just as Joel is an instrument, to lead you to or over this hump, to the experience. The only function is to lead you to the experience. After that, you are taught from within. All right. A man or a woman sins when they leave you in the position of believing that you in any way need them. Yes, you do not need Joel, and you do not need Jesus, and you do not need Buddha, you do not need Emmett Fox, you do not need Herb, you do not need me, you do not need anybody else. You do need contact with that infinite invisible within you. And that's all you need. But until you have it, you need to practice these two principles he's going to tell us about today. And if you forget them, by all means, yes, you do need to go back and find out what they were, so you can practice them until you do get them. So, he says, once you've had the experience, you don't have to go back to this. All right. Yeah, once you have the experience, you can go out into the world without purse or script. And what is the experience? Making the contact several times a day. The actual contact. Not just sort of playing at it, but making the actual contact. Of course you can go anywhere without purse or script, because now you know where to go for all of your supply. All right. If I thought for a moment, he says that the books were going to make someone dependent on books, or dependent on teachers or practitioners, I would want to tear them all up. I wonder if he would take a look at some of the examples we have of Infinite Way students today and do just exactly that, tear them all up. Oh, we have so many quoters and so very little contact. We're all starving to death quoting. So, well, how can we tell? We know by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. If someone's quoting, take a look at their life. See how it's really going. Is their life one of harmony? I mean, for the most part. Even Joel says 80% of problems are met, or 85%, I think in one place he was feeling good and he said 90%. But, I mean, overall, is there ongoing battles lasting years and years that they haven't been able to overcome? Are they showing forth lack and limitation and disease and inharmonious relationships as an ongoing basis? Repetitive, over and over and over, years and years? Well, okay, then let's be honest. They know the words, but they haven't made the contact. And we fall in that category too, until we learn and get over this hump with these two principles. So let's be those that do get over this hump. And I put myself right up next to you, my brothers and sisters. Now, the first principle we're working with is God is individual being. That's principle number one. There's two in this chapter. The function is to reveal God as your individual being. Just as you can draw from your memory for addresses and telephone numbers, so you can draw from your own consciousness for the manna of today. Now we're beginning to understand. The mind's not useless. I can draw on my mind for the principles of mathematics so I can balance my checkbook, or so I can write an appointment on the calendar and keep it and be there on time, or so I can pay my bills, or so I can project on whether or not I need to get a job in December. See, I can use my mind to... Well, that's a bad example. That last one's bad, isn't it? Let's say so I can project on how many days I have left before I need to get this recording done on time. That we can use. The other one I can't use because that would call for guidance and direction. All right. And, yeah, you can even say, theoretically, and so far as how many days I have left to get this recording done, I need guidance and direction. But you understand the point I'm making. The mind's not useless. I use it to drive my car. I use it to fix my computer. I used it the other day to try to track down what was wrong with the wireless network I have at home. And I did track it down. I know what I need to do. So the mind is very useful. However, it won't give you the manna of today. And all the scripture you have memorized, and I don't know about you, but I have thousands of scriptures memorized because that's the habit of reading and looking for answers over the years instead of turning within. So I have thousands of scriptures memorized. Not one of them will give me the manna of today. Not one of them will heal even a simple headache. Not one of them will do anything. However, sometimes when I'm so caught up in the world because I've been out there paying my taxes and standing in line on a hot day or something, and I have not carried these principles out with me, well, now I've got to come home and have that quiet time. And now I have to use the mind to remember truth for a little while, just one or two statements. Then I can get calm enough to turn within and draw from my own consciousness the manna of today. So it's two different things. You draw from your mind for mathematics and figuring out what you can buy at the grocery store with the current balance you have. But you draw from your consciousness the manna of today. All right, so you understand. There's two things. There's mind and there's consciousness. There's mind and there's God. There's God as individual being, and there's the mind that shows us pictures of duality, good and bad, black and white, plus and minus. All right? So, whatever the need is, there is fulfillment, because the fulfillment exists in the consciousness, and it really exists as the consciousness of individual being, because it exists as God. Do you follow that? So, this requires a transition. What requires a transition? Well, getting over the hump. The hump of not making the contact. It requires a specific transition in your own consciousness, and you may have to meditate days and weeks and months, and later he's going to say, and years, before you actually come to the realization. What realization? The first principle of the infinite way. God is my individual being. Now, he says, when individuals come to us for help, well, he says, I don't care if they're starving for food. That's not my business. My business is the realization of God as individual being. Now, he knows that that sounds heartless, so he says, well, now, you know, I'll buy them a meal if they need one. But what he's saying here, he's getting ready to introduce the second principle of the infinite way. Here he says, God means to us that gentle presence within our own being that is forever the source of our good, flowing out into our experience and the experience of the world. And so now I ask you, is that your experience? Do you feel a gentle presence within your being that's the source of good, flowing out into your experience, becoming the harmony of your life and the experience of those that reach out to you? If you don't, you haven't gotten over the hump. But don't feel alone, everyone in this class. He says, we here have not gotten over this hump. But the moment that you come to a realization that God is your individual being, he says, what good would a membership be in anything? Except as a voluntary desire to do something that would make that truth available to everyone in the world. I love it when he goes there because you can see how no organization is important. And yet I myself I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going there. But I know others that have given to organizations that do carry the truth in forms of books and forms of literature and stuff. And he says that's perfectly fine. But there's no need to belong to one because you're not getting your answers from an organization. You're getting them from within. I love this here where he says, right where you are now, in the kingdom of heaven on earth or in hell. Did you know you can have the kingdom of heaven in hell? Yes, you can. Right there and right now is the place to realize God is individual being. My invisible being, I wrote, stretching to infinity right now is God. And your individual being, your invisible individual being, is stretching to infinity. And that's God. That's your individual being. So, the first principle of the infinite way is God is individual being. And he says, this naturally brings us to the second principle, very important principle of the infinite way. And the second principle of the infinite way is God alone is power, or God is all there is, God is allness. Which he quotes, thou couldst have no power over me unless it came from God. So we have two principles in this chapter, and the first one is God is individual being, and you come into the understanding of that only through the experience, by turning within and actually receiving, making contact and receiving that manna. The second principle is God alone is power. And now how do you suppose we're going to come into the experience of that? Well, of course he'll tell us. Now he says that you have a belief about God's individual being. And yes, it's the mind's report of what it sees where God's individual being is. That's the glass darkly. So that's where we start. We have this belief. God is individual being. That's the first principle we're working with. And hopefully we're beginning to experience it within ourselves. If it's true for us, it's true for every living thing. So if we're beginning to know that within us extends into the infinite invisible, and that that being is the interior part of us called God, then we're also beginning to realize that for everyone else, right? Except our eyes, what we see here, taste, touch, and smell, our eyes are showing us all these mental images. We see people. We see disease. Well, he'll get to that here. We see a belief, and we have to meet it somewhere. So now he's going to the second principle. God is the only power. How do we come into that consciousness? Well, we have to begin to meet these beliefs that are presented to us. On the one hand, we're working with this principle, making contact, knowing that God is an individual being. On the other hand, we're working with the second principle. Well, what do I do when I'm faced with all these appearances? Well, I have to meet them somewhere. And he says, now where can you meet it except in your own mind or in your own thought? You're going to be presented with the beliefs of cancer, tuberculosis, polio, paralysis, old age, death, blindness, deafness, lameness, depressions, lack, limitation, poverty. You're going to be presented with the beliefs of incurable diseases. Where are you going to meet them? That you've got to get this second principle. These two principles get you over the hump, as he calls it. And we're all stuck on the other side, on this side of the hump. But we want to get over it. Well, hopefully we're working with the 12 times a day, 3 to 4 minutes, making the contact, practicing that first principle. And now we're being presented with the second one that we need to live to get over the hump. And we have to meet these appearances, these beliefs, within ourselves, within the mind. So where are you going to meet them? Well, the moment you try to meet them in a person out there or in a body, you're just saying, yeah, I acknowledge that's there. And it can't be done that way. It can't be done. If those conditions are actually there, then anything you would do about them would be just another way of doing that which is already being done. And now there's a second way. Along comes what do they call that? Let me think for a minute. Well, I can't think of it right now, so mind isn't serving me very good, is it? But it's the medical practice of believing that there's a mental cause for illness. And that's what he says here. Along comes this new form of medicine, and the belief that there's mental conditions which produce physical problems. So let's try to handle them that way. And that won't work either, because there are no mental causes. He says that. Neither one of those ways will work, because there's no physical cause, that's a belief. There's no mental cause, that's a belief. And the very foundational point of our work, he says, is that we don't have a person or a condition. So see, how can there be a cause in a person when there's not even a person? All right. We have not graduated above physical disease into a mental cause for a disease either. See, neither one will work. We are taking the standpoint that God is individual being and God is spirit. Therefore, spirit is the nature and character of your being. It embraces my attaining a state of consciousness in which I recognize the nature and character of true being. Do you see that? All right. And so he's embodying both of the first and second principles of the infinite way. I didn't know until I read this chapter that there was a first and second principle of the infinite way, but there is. And the first one is God is individual being, and the second one is God is the only power. And so he's embodying these here by recognizing that there's no person and no condition. But none of this is done mentally. All right, you're not doing it. All that we did in the past, doing this mentally, it didn't fix anything. It never worked. We're coming up higher. So we attain the realization first that God is an individual being by making that contact, by contacting it within. So it is no longer a thought or a theory or a belief. It's an actual experience. And then when we sit down and we have that to turn to, we take the second principle and we look out here at these appearances and say, wait a minute, this is, has to be met in my mind. There's no person or condition out there, because I know what's out there. I've experienced it. It's God, it's individual being. But I'm not seeing it because I have this mental image I'm looking at, and I've got to meet it within myself. It has no power, and so now what do I do about it? Well, he says, I haven't even thought of you, because you have no real existence. See, he's absolutely firm in that. There's no doubt in that, no wavering. Everything that we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is a limited, erroneous concept of God as individual being. Now, we're beginning to actually feel within ourselves God as individual being and receive impartations from it. It's a real living being. It's our being. It's the only being. But the senses are still showing us, or that which we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is still showing us an erroneous concept of that being. So, he says, if I can ignore the appearance, even the good appearance, even the beautiful appearance, and realize God is individual being, then when I'm very still, I can know the true being. I can see it. I can touch it. I can tabernacle with it. How? By making contact within. By contacting God in me, I have made contact with your real being, because there's only one real being. So, you and I get together at that particular point or level. Now, he says, somebody wrote him a letter and said, well, how can you look at these murderers? How can you look at these people who are doing these evil things and say they are spiritual? Well, I don't, he says. I couldn't get that naive. I haven't been able to bring myself to that point of looking at these horrible people and saying you are spiritual. But I can ignore the appearance and say, wait a minute, I'm not being fooled by that. God is an individual being. See, he's working with both of these principles. God is an individual being, but he's not just making a statement. He's not making a spiritual statement and throwing it at the error that he's looking at, the way we've all done. No, no. When he says God is an individual being, he knows what that feels like within, in the interior part of him. Dozens of times in meditations, he's contacted it. So when he says God is an individual being, it's not a statement or a scripture or a truth statement. It's an experience. He's saying, wait, now I feel this real being here. So then this that I'm looking at is an appearance. So it has no power because individual being is the only being there is. Then I can drop this appearance. So he says, when I have that realization, I have to handle the appearance. I have to meet with appearances in my thought. I don't meet them out there in you, because you don't enter my mind. I'm dealing now with what is appearing to me, a belief, a claim, a suggestion, an appearance, any name you want to give it. And that's true. You can give it any name you want. But it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me. The appearance is in my mind. So I am dealing now with an appearance that comes to me that says that you are human. That's the appearance I'm dealing with. Those are the appearances that are being presented to me, and I have to meet them within me. And he says there are times when I've got to battle with myself. Now you see, there's it's sort of like you got two hands here, and the one principle, hopefully you're beginning to have as an actual experience, is that God is individual being, the only being. And the other principle is God is the only power. This that I'm seeing out here, I've got to meet it in my mind, because it's an appearance, and I've got to come to the place where I let it go and rest back in that attitude of listening until I experience that release. And so sometimes that means I have to do battle, because it takes a little while to get out from under the appearance. When I achieve victory over myself, he says, I come to the point of thank you, Father. God is individual being, the only law, the only power, the only activity. Okay. So then he can rest back and receive that release, the impartation from within. But you can't get to that place with just the one principle. You can't get to that place all the time just by saying or knowing God is individual being. Sometimes it won't work. Something comes in and slaps you right in the face. Here I am. What are you going to do now? So you need the second principle, which is that individual being is the only power, the only law, the only presence. And this that's appearing to me is not a person or a condition. It's a mental image in my mind. But am I going to believe my mind or what I receive as an impartation? So he says, sure, the battle within myself came to an end, and I realized that what it says in the infinite way is really true. God is individual being. He says, you'd be surprised, maybe, to know that it doesn't even help me that I had the privilege of writing what's in those books. When I am up against an actual need for healing or something, the battle has to be fought all over again. The fact that it was written in a book 5 years ago doesn't help me. When I am up against a battle today, I've got to win the battle, the victory, all over again. It is true that as we go on, there are less of those battles, but the few that remain are a little tougher. Why? Because now we are dealing with the root of evil, not the forms of evil. The evil itself is the belief that you are human beings. There is the root of the evil. And why? Because Joel still has to come up over the mental image to a place of rest, where he can experience, make the contact with God, and feel the release, or what he says is God is on the scene. All right. So he says, the day finally comes when after we've lopped off a million heads of evil, we look up and see 2 million more. And then we say, well, I haven't made much progress, have I? And then the voice within, the impartation we receive, says, no, because you haven't yet laid the axe at the root of the error. And what's the root of the error? A belief in humanhood. A belief in a selfhood apart from God. I have to stop healing you. Get back within myself and say, I'm not here to get rid of somebody's disease. God is individual being. And so disease can't be a reality. You see, there's the two principles. All these words are not going to be important. It's the principle. The actual principle of making that contact with God as individual being within you, being presented with an appearance, not accepting it as a person or a condition, but as an appearance in the mind. Reminding yourself, wait a minute, am I going to accept this appearance in the mind? No, there's no power in a mental image. Let me set that down. You know, whatever you have to do, he calls it battling with himself. Call it whatever you want. You got to wrestle with it until you can say, wait a minute. If God's the only power, the only law, what is this? What is this? This has got to be one of those appearances. Give it any name you want, a temptation, a suggestion, a mental image. I'm not going to accept it as real. Buddy, you can make all the noise you want. I'm not going to engage you. There's nothing and no one out there. God is individual being. And so now I'm going to rest, turn within, and say, Father, thy grace is a sufficiency unto this situation. So now you speak. What's really here? See, the words won't be important. The process will always be the same. Both of these principles will always be included. God is individual being, and there's no power in this appearance. Now, how you phrase the words to those two principles doesn't matter. But each and every time, you will practice those two principles until you come up over the hump. So Joel's not... Well, I read in his book here, Consciousness Transformed, the Hawaii Hotel Talks, a quote... He says in that book, it's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. And so he experienced a complete freedom from this world. Now here is where it started for him, practicing these two principles. The root of error, what is it? It's a belief in humans. It's a belief in a self somewhere apart from God. I have to stop trying to heal people. I have to get back within myself and remind myself I'm not here to get rid of a disease. God is an individual being, so disease can't be a reality. Having done that, we come to a place on the other side of the hump. The other side of the hump is where you're resting and receiving that release, that click, that assurance. You're right. I am individual being, so you rest. It doesn't make any difference whether you've gotten past them in actual demonstration yet, if at least you've got it thoroughly in your mind what you're going to be called upon to do these next months or years, until you do achieve the realization of these two principles. Now, these are the first two principles of the Infinite Way. It's about time we started practicing them, isn't it? So, he says, let us for the moment assume that you are at that place where every day you must help somebody. I would like to take you into that step which is beyond the letter of truth. That's what this whole Kailua study series is about. Get us up and out of the letter of truth at last. Now, notice in this paragraph before this, he says, even if you haven't proved this, even if you're not over the hump, even if you're still practicing this for months, you might have to practice it for months or even years until you do have the realization of these two principles. But even if you're not past that yet, he says, you need to know that where you are going with these two principles. So, we have our work cut out for us for the next few years, don't we? Getting over the hump and realizing these first two principles of the Infinite Way. Now he says, I would like to take you into the step which is beyond the letter of truth. And don't forget, this gives you no license to forget these two points on which we have spent this hour. Don't forget that those will be the two points that you will use in whatever mental work you have to do or treatment you have to give or thoughts you have to think. That will be your basis. All right? So, these two principles, that which he has gone over about there's no humanhood, there's no self apart from God, God is an individual being, and there's no person or condition, no power in the mental image, that's what you're going to be wrestling with until you reach that state of silence. However, if you've made that contact several times a day, it's going to be a lot easier to wrestle with it only for a little while, because you're going to know that within is the answer, not in all this wrestling, because that's why he keeps saying this hour of work is all a lot of fun, but now let's get down to the real help. What I'm trying to say, what he's trying to point out is, you're going to be going along practicing this principle, God is individual being, making your contact several times a day, and wham, something's going to hit you, or somebody's going to call and say, little Susan's been in a car accident, and they don't think she'll come out of her coma. Now what are you going to do? Well, you'd better practice the second principle of the Infinite Way, shouldn't you? You better sit down and wrestle with the mental image that's just been presented in your mind. You better come to some way of realizing it's not a person or a condition out there and doesn't have power, so that you can set it down, stop wrestling with it, enter the silence, and receive that assurance within that God is individual being, the only power and presence. Now you see that? This all fits together. This is all working in one direction. Now here is the actual help. If you have been faithful several times a day in taking these 3 to 4 or 5 minutes in which you do nothing but go within, and remember that thy grace is not only my sufficiency, but thy grace is the sufficiency of all those who come within range of my thought. If you have been faithful in that several times a day, those 12 times a day, then when someone comes to you for help, physical, mental, moral, or financial, you will very quickly be able to say, this grace, this help, has to come from God. It isn't something that I have a personal possession of or that I can give you. It's something that has to come from God. And so, without any conversation, let us go to God. And then again, you will turn within, and in the same way you will realize thy grace, Father, is the sufficiency unto this experience. And you'll make contact. But if you haven't been practicing, you won't be able to sit down and wait those 3 to 4 minutes until you make the contact. You'll be wrestling with this, and he's given you the principle to use while you're wrestling. That's the second principle of the infinite way. God's the only power. There's no person, no condition, no human, no self. Pardon me, no self. So, when you do that, it'll be a lot easier. You'll find that after you've turned within, you've dropped the battle, and you've turned within, and you have that listening attitude for 3 to 4 minutes, you'll find that that will be the most effective treatment ever. That will be what he called here the real help. That is really the meaning of the letters that come to me that tell me of miracles that happen, miracles of healing, miracles of comforting, miracles of changed lives. Well, I have nothing to do with that as a person, and I'm sure you know it. The only part I play is that in maintaining myself as an instrument, it is available to all of you who want to draw upon it. Everyone can raise themselves to that same position. We really do have the power to become the sons of God. It's been given to us. But will we practice it, even if it takes years? So, there had to be a Jesus to do the realizing of the Christ, and so there has to be an individual who must realize the Christ in order for the experience to take place, and that's you and me. You see, the Christ appears as individual you and me. That's the whole basis of the infinite way. God is the individual being. That's the first principle of the infinite way. When we make way for that activity of the Christ, and we as individuals must be the one to realize it in order to set the example for those who do not yet know that Christ liveth and Christ can be experienced. And the same Christ that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken also your mortal bodies and your mortal affairs. And so you see there's two basic principles of the infinite way. And if you stick to those two principles, God is individual being and those who realize the activity of the Christ will dispel illusory pictures. Well, you cannot go wrong in this work. It will become so simple that even children will be able to grasp it. So, the essence of this chapter, 22, is two principles, right? The first principle of the infinite way is God is individual being. You are coming into the experience of that. Not the intellectual understanding, not the theoretical belief, not the topic you discussed last night, not the chapter of a paragraph you read, but into the actual experience of it by having these several periods a day in which you make the contact. You're coming into the conscious awareness of it, the consciousness of that principle. You are embodying that principle. It's becoming your life's experience. God is an individual being. Now you must add to that the second principle of the infinite way. God is an individual being, and God is the only power, the only law, the only presence. Therefore, this appearance that's just slapped me in the face is not a person or a condition or a disease. It's a mental image, it's a temptation, it's an appearance being presented to my mind. And it's there that I'm going to have to wrestle it until I can let it go. I'm going to have to apply the principles, what he calls the basis of that second principle, until I come to the place that I can let it go. Then when I let it go in my mind, that's the only place you can let it go, because that's the only place it is. Remember, no illusion is ever externalized. When I can let it go, It's going to be a lot easier to let it go, he says, if you've been practicing these 8 or 10 or 12 times a day. Because you're going to know, well, okay, this is what God as individual being feels like. This is what it sounds like. This is how it feels when I experience it. And this other thing is a mental image. I can tell the difference. One is flowing from consciousness. One is flowing from the mind. I'm beginning to feel the difference here. So this must be of the mind. Therefore, it's in the mind that I am going to have to say, I'm sorry, I don't accept that. That's a nothingness, a mental image. So I'm going to set it down, calm down, remember a few things like thy grace is sufficient unto this experience. Thy grace is my sufficiency and sufficiency unto every one that turns to me. Until I reach that place of stillness in which I can receive the impartation from within, or the healing, or the blessing, or the love, or the supply, or the impression, or the grace, or the release, or the click, or the assurance, the love, the peace that passes understanding. In one way or another, I will know that, now this is flowing from consciousness. And I can tell you, consciousness trumps mind. It just does. When consciousness flows, the mental image that you dropped is dissolved. That's how it works. So we're not about meeting anything out here. We're about consciousness flowing and dissolving this mental image that we've had in the mind. When it dissolves, the light shines and the darkness disappears. You don't know how it happens. You only have the experience within that you've been released from this battle. Then when you've been released, you open your eyes, you go about your business, and whatever it was that slapped you in your face disappears in some normal, natural fashion, and you don't even know how. But you don't have to. All you have to know is the two principles presented in this chapter, and practice them for months and years until you embody them, until they are living you. You really must have dedication to do this. He says, and I didn't mention it in this chapter, if you fill your time with movies and nights out on the town and having a cocktail here and there, you're not going to get this. You've got to be devoted to this. And you can see that you do. Otherwise, why would we be in this for so many years and not yet over this hump? So let's just rededicate ourselves, those of us that want to get over this hump on the other side, where this consciousness can live us, where Christ can walk on earth through us. Let's rededicate ourselves, and I love you, and upward and onward. Thank you.